It's always a pleasure to be back here and, you know, beginning of the new year. So one of the topics that I'll be speaking on during this year is regarding the I am statements. Now, if you're not familiar with it, in the Gospel of John, there are around seven statements that Jesus says, where he starts with, I am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door gate of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true wine. So today we'll be starting with the first of these statements, which is, I am the bread of life. Now we see this particular statement in John's Gospel, chapter 6. And the main passage that we'll be looking from is verse 22 to around 48. Now, to just get an idea of the word bread, what is the importance of bread? Now, especially when we look at, you know, our society today, bread is probably not on the top list of everybody's, you know, list. Sure, you know, use it to make a sandwich, or, you know, especially if you're on one of those low-carb diets, then bread is probably never on your list. But when we look back at the time when Jesus was there and the place that this happened, bread had a very significant and important place in society there. So here, when we go to a restaurant, maybe bread is like, you know, what are you nibbling on until you actually get your main course? You just slap some butter on it and you're waiting for your main course. But when you look back, and even today, when you look back into that region, bread has a very important place in society. Depending on your means in life, bread and water was probably considered a complete meal there. And to have like meat or fish on the side means you had a higher standard of living. But the thing was, everybody had access to bread. Now, the poor people probably used barley to make their bread, while the wealthy people used wheat. But the thing was, everybody had access to bread. So it was a common thing that could be focused upon because it symbolized nourishment and sustenance for life. And bread was also a means of fellowship. If you ever heard the term, come break bread with me, it's a term of fellowship. It's a term where, you know, let us put our differences aside and let us sit down and have a meal together. Where, you know, where we can put aside our differences and our quarrels and we can take time to share a meal. And bread also symbolized God's presence. Even Bethlehem, which means the house of bread, had a significance. And also in the temple, you would see it was continually filled with showbread. And of course, when we look in the context of Christendom today, we see this symbolism of bread in the remembrance meeting. So, as we look into this passage, we see Christ saying, I am the bread of life. Now, to bring the verses 22 to 48 into context, we had to look at some of the earlier verses in chapter 6. So during that earlier time, it was probably the day before when this takes place, is where Jesus feeds the 5,000. And this is where Jesus took a few loaves of bread and two fish and fed 5,000. And that was 5,000 men. There were women and children as well. And we see that in verse 14, when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, This is indeed the prophet who is to come to the world. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain itself. But this was a great miracle in the sight of the people. But now when you come to verse 22 onwards, I'll read 22 to 26. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got in the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." So when we see in that previous incident, they were enthralled, they were excited, they were ready to make him king, and they went searching for him. But Jesus knew the true motive of why they were looking for him. It's because he satisfied a need, but it was a very temporary need. If you look at, you know, you've heard stories that, you know, people win the lottery and suddenly you have, you know, a whole bunch of friends and family you never knew of. Because they know you have the means to satisfy some of their desires in terms of money or, you know, position or, you know. And here, Jesus knows the heart of the people, and he says, "I say to you, you're seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." What a short memory they have. The day before they were ready to make him king, they said, "Whoa, he's the prophet who's come," but what they're seeking for is just filling their stomachs and filling their short-term desires. Because when you look at it, Capernaum was around, you know, 17 kilometers away from where the incident of the previous day took place. And sure, today you can just jump in a car and you'll probably be there in 20 minutes, but back in that day, if you had to walk, it'd probably take 3 hours, 3.5 hours. So they took the trouble of getting the boats and going to find Jesus. Now, for any other person, you'd think, "Oh, wow, these people are determined to know about me and to understand me." But Jesus knew the heart of the people and what they were really desiring. So then Jesus continues, verses 27 to 33. "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." So here we see Jesus is trying to explain to the people gathered there that do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life. So even though they had seeing the miraculous signs, they only saw it at a very physical level. They did not look deeper into it. And it kind of, you know, relates to what happened in the wilderness when the nation of Israel was looking to God for manna. They saw it as only a daily sustenance. In fact, when you notice in those passages, they tried to actually store the manna for the next day, but it would rot. Why? Because they felt that they had to do something to sustain themselves. But God wanted to teach them a lesson, that it was God who would provide for them and who would take care of them and who would lead them through the wilderness, to for the people to not rely on their own strength, but to rely on God. But we see that generations later, the nation still hasn't learned. They haven't learned from their forefathers. And again, Jesus is saying, do not work for food that perishes. He's saying, not just in material things, but also in all things in life, to be aware of what the real goal is. Because all the people saw the day before was a need of hunger being satisfied. But Jesus wanted to just open their eyes and see that it was not just hunger that he satisfied, but it was a spiritual need that he satisfied, that he was able to provide something deeper than something that just lasts for a day. They came looking for him for daily sustenance. But what happens when Jesus goes away? And then they are on their own. And then they will question, why has he left us and left us with nothing? But Christ wanted them to realize that he was providing eternal satisfaction in terms of them accepting him into their hearts, and he would nourish them from inside. And even when you see in those last verses there, he's reminding the people that it was not Moses that provided the manna, it was God. How often do we see the providence of God, but we forget to see where it completely flows back up? We only see the middle piece. Moses was a conduit through who God worked. And we see in many instances also in the New Testament that many of the apostles repeatedly had to make sure that when people saw the miracles and heard their words, that they tied it back to Christ and to God, because people were willing to follow the person that they saw in front of them. And it's true, we are very visual people. We get attracted to the things we see, but Christendom is a faith where we believe by not seeing, where we have to take the effort to know and understand. It's not all visual. And that is what Jesus was trying to get the people there in that area to realize, that don't just be satisfied with what you see. Dig in and see where the true source of your sustenance comes from. Verse 35 onwards. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, and they shall have eternal life. So in the previous verse, the people ask that they be given this bread from now on, harkening back to that time in the wilderness where they received it daily. But Jesus not only says that he's the bread of life, but insists that they will never go hungry. So the hungry and thirsty person who comes to Jesus finds his hunger satisfied and his thirst quenched. But this does not mean there's no more need for, you know, continued dependence on him. What it's alluding to is that once Christ is in one's heart, the feeding is from within, and it's not about waiting for something to come down from heaven, as Christ lives in them. And just as Jesus charged the citizens of Jerusalem with unbelief in chapter 5, verses 36-38, he now charges his fellow Galileans the same sin. They saw the miracles, yet they did not believe, they did not take the effort to see the true meaning of what those miracles were. They only saw Jesus as someone who would satisfy their hunger and their political ambitions, because they wanted a king. They always wanted a king since the days of old. But Christ is confident in that he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. And he was trying to explain that to the people, that once they were in his fold, he would never cast them out. He would never let them fall by the wayside. And the reason for this was his entire purpose for coming down from heaven in the form of man was not to do his own will, but the will of his Father who sent him. And that will was that the Son should not lose any individual that is given to him by the Father. Now, as we look in verse 41 and 42, so the Jews grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? We see that as a nation, Israel has never stopped grumbling. But that is true for any nation, for any person. Just as they grumbled in the wilderness when the manna was given to them, in the same way, they're grumbling now. And mainly not because Jesus said that I'm the bread. It's because he said I've come down from heaven. Because Jesus wasn't from that area. They knew his parents. And they were saying, how is he claiming to be from heaven? We know his parents. We've gone to his birthday parties. We've seen him work as a carpenter. But Jesus answered them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Again, Christ is emphasizing the drawing of the Father. Now when we look at it, it is not that the Father forces you towards Christ. It symbolizes a father with open arms, willing to embrace someone who's, you know, coming towards him. And Jesus' commitment is to not let them wander, and that he would have, and that person would have eternal life, because he says, "And I will raise him up on the last day." Now, so when we look at the overall context, Jesus is saying, when we go back, is focus on your works in terms of don't let it be for the wrong reasons. Now, nowhere does Jesus show contempt for work. He said to his own disciples when he sent them out, "The laborer deserves his wages." He intends for people to work and to provide for their own and others' needs. But the priority shouldn't be the work. One of the best verses to kind of explain that is Matthew 6:33. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well." So when Jesus says, "Do not seek the food that perishes," because that is God, that is what God will provide. Focus your efforts on things that are eternal, that last, and may not be just material. Most people are striving for, you know, positions and power. And when you step back and look at, you know, the effort and time that goes into that, and you realize where your priorities are, and this also applies to our spiritual life as well. Because this conversation actually took place at the synagogue in Capernaum, as we read in verse 59, I believe, of the same chapter. So these were, I'm pretty sure at least the leaders of the synagogue were there when these discussions were happening, and they are learned people. And they would have thought doing works would satisfy God's desires. That is why they said, "What are these works that we should do?" And how often do we find ourselves doing things that we think are for God, but we have lost our focus on what we should truly be doing? So it can apply to our, you know, secular life, it can apply to our spiritual lives. And this took place, the people did not know Christ as their Savior, did not accept him. But there are many around us that probably do and yet have lost that focus on the things that are eternal. So one of the things that we should really look at, that I know even in my personal life, that as we go about a day, that we don't get bogged down by the goals of this world, things that we try to achieve in this world that will perish. Because those are things that Christ says will be taken care of. God will provide. But it is to focus on Christ, who continues to give us sustenance. Because we have continuously seen where Jesus is comparing the two instances where, when we look back in the Old Testament, that the manna was given daily, but when you look at it, all the people of that generation died and passed away. That was not an eternal sustenance. But that is why Jesus is saying, I am the living bread, and I am eternal, and I will give you eternal life. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us, that we can once again come in your presence. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that you came down to this world to do thy Father's will. And that everyone that he has given to you, that you have preserved and that you are taking care of. And we pray that we never lose sight of this. We never lose sight of what our ultimate goal should be, what we should be striving towards. It is very easy in our busy lives to lose or change our focus to things of this world. But as your word says, nothing on earth is eternal. So help us as we look to you through the word and through our interactions with each other, that we would be strengthened in the things that we do, that our focus is on you and what you've done in our lives. Let's call these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.